Back at the Native Friendship Center. I'm here with Ben, who's just came from the sentencing phase of some of our brothers and sisters who went to trial from 2004. And Ben just arrived from there, so he's going to give us an update on what happened.
So the trial that I was just at was, like Urquhart said, the sentencing phase of this trial that has been nearly 2 years in the making. It results from the January 12, 2004 defense of Gansatage from the invasion of 67 police officers to stage a coup and replace the police chief of the time. If you've been listening to Native Solidarity News, you are familiar with this case. And so the sentencing period happened today, and it was supposed to have finished. It was supposedly going to be 3 hours or something like that, but we were there all day, and it isn't finished yet. There was some pretty contentious arguments. The judge just today, to me, made it obvious what a racist she was. Because now the ball's kind of in her court. She can decide, like, the jury phase is over. The jury is gone. They have said that of the 18 defendants, 6 were not guilty of anything, 6 were guilty of illegal assembly, and 6 were guilty of rioting and forcible confinement of police officers. So, okay, jury's done. Now it's up to the judge. And she is really psyched to use all of the power at her disposal. She, from the get-go, made it clear that she isn't interested in restorative justice. She is not interested in the well-being of the community. She's interested in a paternalistic approach, a colonial approach to justice in the community. Which would mean she wants to take it upon herself to fix things in the community, whatever that means. And so basically for her it meant she wanted an apology. She was upset that she hadn't heard an apology, and so she doesn't think that the people in the community are sorry or the defendants are sorry or whatever, like they should be sorry for defending their community, but anyways. So it just came down to she wanted an apology. She wanted defendants to be very open and apologetic for what they had done, that they knew that what they had done was wrong, blah, blah, blah. At one point, it was sick. She said to the defense lawyers, I think you're being used by these Mohawks. Which was offensive to and then the court just got out of control. Former Chief John Harding just yelled out racist and left the courtroom, slammed the door into the wall and left a big dent because it was just very, very disturbing. I mean, it's insulting to the attorney, to say that he is being used. It's insulting to the community that they would have to resort to using somebody or would even use somebody. It's just very dehumanizing and very, tyrannical, or I don't know. So this judge is sick. There was a very, very moving presentation by Grand Chief Stephen Bonspiel, who explained that the men on trial need to go back to the community, that the community can take care of, that no damage has been done to the community. The judge is trying to make it seem like illegal assembly is not a victimless crime, and that the community is a victim of their illegal assembly, of their supposed illegal assembly, of their supposed rioting. But the Grand Chief said, no, there is no victim here. There would only be a victim if these men were taken out of their community, out of their homes, away from their families, and put in jail. And that they should be sent back to the communities to do community service or whatever, because that's that's just where it needs to go, and that there's no way that these Canadian courts can understand what happened in that community. And she just basically said, whatever. She basically just ignored it and just wanted to keep the trial moving. So that's the update there. They haven't been sentenced yet. Their next court date will be January 20th, so at least they'll get to spend New Year's with their families, and we'll have more updates when they're forthcoming.
Now, you mentioned the judge. Now, when are judges going to learn that they're not politicians? They don't make the laws. They just have to guide them. But what did the prosecution have to say in all this? If she's yelping out racist remarks, that is, you know, a judge is not supposed to do that. You know, it's like judges have been fined, judges have been fired for that kind of language. They're not allowed to use racist remarks. They're not allowed to use any kind of language that's inappropriate, considering that they are supposed to be not on either side. They're supposed to be in the middle. They're supposed to be, you know, not biased at all. And yet they're throwing racist remarks out here. You know, it's like, oh, we're being, the defense lawyers being used by Mohawks. Like, the way I see it, the way history works, it's kind of the other way around. But anyways, so what did the prosecution have to say about this? You know, it's like, did the prosecution speak out? Because did this offend the prosecution as much as it offended the defense?
The prosecution actually didn't say anything. It's my experience that the prosecution and the judge usually are pretty buddy-buddy, you know? They're both kind of on the side of status quo and on the side of the state, sort of. And so, no, the prosecution didn't say anything. He was unusually quiet for this day. And, no, he didn't contribute much at all in this way.
Well, that's pretty sad. If I'd been a prosecutor, I would have said, Your Honor, you're out of order. But, you know, who's going to defend us except ourselves?